The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
But your spring has come and your winter is over. We heard the prophetic word today. Let your righteousness spring forth. Your healing and your deliverance spring forth. All that God has provided and laid up for you, it's time to spring forth. Happy spring. Glory to God. We need spring spiritually, not just climatically, but we need it spiritually. When the seasons change, we ought to believe our circumstances are changing. How many believe your circumstances are changing? Glory to God. Amen. How many have your Bibles with you? Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And I'm still talking about the kingdom of God. And this is the 11th message today that I'll talk about the kingdom of God. And I don't think I'm going to get through all of it, so I'll save part of it for the very end. And I think that would be the 12th message. And in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at a very difficult text, one that's often misunderstood, mistranslated, misapplied. But when you search the scriptures, you see whether those things are so. And the scriptures cannot be broken. You should always interpret the word of God with the Word of God. Scripture interprets Scripture. Here in Matthew chapter 11, and I want to focus on these two verses, these two difficult verses. Again, they're very often misunderstood, mistranslated in almost every Bible you open. Now, there's a couple Bibles that have the correct translation. But verse 11, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force." I can tell the way some of you are getting with me on the last verse that you misunderstand it too. But it's good that you're here today. Amen. I'm going to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist. And we need to understand the backdrop of these things that Jesus is saying. In chapter 11 here, you also find that John the Baptist has been thrown into prison. And John hears about all the wonderful works of Jesus. How he's healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, causing the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Now John is in prison, but he hears about all these wonderful things Jesus is doing. So John sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask him the question, "Are you the one to come, or do we look for another?" Now, I want you to understand what was happening to John. What was happening to John happens to many of us oftentimes. Every time we find ourselves in a hard place, we find ourselves facing adverse circumstances or a difficult situation, and the first thing we want to do is question whether God is who he said he is. Will God deliver me? Will God come through? Will God answer my prayer in the nick of time? Well, John is in prison, and you can imagine how horrendous the conditions probably was. He's in prison, and if Jesus is the Messiah, if Jesus is so great, then why am I still in prison? How many ask yourselves that question? Why is this happening in my life if God is God? Why am I going through this if His word is true? Can anybody identify what I'm saying? Like John the Baptist, as great as he was, we have what I call those emotional meltdowns. We have crises of our faith. And we begin to question ourselves. We begin to question God. And John wanted to know if Jesus was really who he said he was. Yet he had been out preaching about Jesus and his coming. But the very one he was preaching about, the very one he's bearing witness to, now that he's in prison, he has questions. So Jesus says these words to his disciples in light of John being in prison. Now his disciples, John, two disciples, came to Jesus. Jesus said, you go back and tell John. Now John probably want to hear that Jesus is on his way to deliver you from jail. But God don't work that way all the time. Just because you find yourself in a pickle, just because you find yourself facing a test and a trial, it doesn't mean God's going to deliver you from it right away. There's some things that God wants you to go through. God wants you to stick with the process, because in the process, He'll work some things in you and work some things out of you. Can you say amen? So Jesus told John's two disciples, he said, you go back and tell John that the blind see and the lame walk, that lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are being raised, and the poor is having the gospel preached to them. Tell John, I said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. What was John's offense? John had the same offense that you and I have when we find ourselves cast into the prison of hard times, cast into the prison of a painful, unbearable situation. John, his offense was doubt. He was doubting. And this is what the enemy does. He makes us doubt in the time of trouble. But this is the time we ought to believe God if we never believed Him before. This is the time we ought to stand, and having done all we know to do, we need to stand anyhow. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But blessed is he who is not offended in me. John was having doubts. But here's what's interesting when you look at this passage in chapter 11 of Matthew. Even though John had doubts, Jesus didn't doubt John. Jesus still saw his greatness. And here, as I began to look at this and meditate on this, God began to show me that nothing could diminish your greatness in the eyes of God. Even when you're facing a situation with doubt, fear, and unbelief, God still sees you as the righteousness of God in Christ. He still sees you as a mighty man or woman of God. And God's going to leave you that situation perhaps until you begin to see yourself the same way God sees you. Jesus went on to tell his disciples, when John was preaching out there in the wilderness of the Jordan River, what in the world did you think you were going to see? Did you think you were going to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you think you were going to see somebody dressed in soft clothing? And see, that's the mentality today. We think being a preacher or a minister is how you dress. Jesus says, no, not so. What did you go out to see? Jesus said, did you go out to see a man clothed in soft garments? Like those who wear soft clothes in the king's palace? What did you go to see? It isn't the clothes that make the man or the woman of God. It is the call of God and the anointing in their life. And never make a mistake about that. Just because somebody looks saved don't mean they are saved. Just because somebody looks like they're a preacher or a great man or woman of God doesn't make them a great man or woman of God. The only thing that makes you a great man or woman of God is our great God himself. But see, we're looking at the fig leaves. We're looking at the outward appearances. And Jesus said, what did you go to see? He says, you went out to see a prophet. And he went on to say, indeed, I say unto you that John was more than a prophet. John was more than a prophet. Why would Jesus say that? John was the only prophet in the Bible who was the subject of prophecy other than Jesus himself. Let me say it again. John the Baptist was the only prophet in the Bible who was the subject of other prophecies. Isaiah prophesied about John the Baptist. Malachi prophesied about John the Baptist. So Jesus said, yes, indeed, you saw a prophet, but you saw more than a prophet. Now he goes on to say what Malachi had prophesied, what Isaiah had prophesied. They both prophesied, both, behold, I send my messenger before your face. Who will prepare your way before you? Then he says to his disciples, and I want to go back to my text now, verse 11 and 12. Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But notwithstanding, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about just for a few minutes. Greater than John. Let me say it again. You're greater than John. You see, John the Baptist came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, preaching the kingdom of God, condemning sin, preaching repentance and water baptism unto the newness of life. That was John's message and his ministry. Now, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, but he had the distinction of being the very first to announce the coming of Jesus Christ and his kingdom here on earth. In fact, John preached. In Matthew chapter 3, you find what John preached, the same message that Jesus preached when he began his ministry. And what was that message? Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. John preached that message first, even before Jesus did. Are you hearing me? Now, but John received the highest commendation than any man ever from Jesus. And that commendation was, of all the men born among women, none is greater than John the Baptist. Think about it. Of all the people that had been born there, up until first century, all the people had been born during the years and the centuries of the BC area. Now this first century, and Jesus says, of all the men born among women, none is greater. None is greater than John the Baptist. But notwithstanding, he who is the least in the kingdom of God, he's greater than John. He who's been saved by grace through faith, greater than John. He who's still struggling, but yet they're standing in their faith, they're greater than John. He who's never died and gone to heaven yet is still greater than John. What made John great? Now, one of the things that made John great, I mentioned it earlier. He was the only prophet who was also the subject of prophecy. But what made John great? Not necessarily a special gift. John didn't have, at least the Bible doesn't show he had necessarily some special gift. What made John special? It wasn't his clothing or his diet. Now, we know from the scriptures that John wore clothing of camel's hair, and he tied a leather belt around his waist. His diet consisted of, here's the kind of food John ate. John ate locusts and wild honey. In other words, John had a sweet tooth. John had a sweet tooth, but Jesus said he was greater than any man ever born. But what really made John great? I believe what made John great was his unique role in the plan and the purpose of God. And that's the thing that makes every one of us great. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of your lives. You're not here by accident or coincidence. You were not born as a mistake. You were born on purpose. And God has a unique plan and purpose for all of our lives. And when we begin to embrace that uniqueness, we're going to overcome feelings of low self-esteem. Come on, somebody. Huh? We're going to develop a more healthy concept of ourselves when we understand that when God made me, he broke the mold. Did you hear what I said? When God made you, he broke the mold. So John had this unique role in the plan and the purpose of God. And then on top of that, God anointed him with the spirit of Elijah. The spirit and the power of Elijah. The writer of Luke says in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, God is speaking, says, I will go before him. Speaking of John the Baptist. I will go before him. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children. And turn the hearts of the disobedient unto the wisdom of the just. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John, his ministry was to get people ready to receive Jesus' ministry. His message was to get people ready to receive Jesus' message. Amen. So what really made John great? Well, he definitely was the forerunner of Christ, amen? According to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 3, if you're taking notes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then he had the high privilege of introducing Jesus to the world. I want you to think about that. Of all the people you can introduce, can you imagine how special it was to introduce God's Son into the world? John introduced Jesus into the world in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 29, verse 35, verse 36. He introduces Jesus to the world by saying, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. This was Jesus' introduction. And John had the privilege of making that introduction. Now, what was special about the introduction was John was preaching the repentance of sins, S-I-N, and water baptism unto a newness of life. But when he introduced Jesus, he didn't introduce Jesus as somebody coming to take away your sins, plural, S-I-N-S. No, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin, the S-I-N, of the world. And I need you to get this. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for your sins, but he died for your sin nature. He's not coming back to die again. When he died for the sin of the whole world. Glory to God. And so whatever your weakness might be, whatever your problem might be, whatever it is that overcomes you from time to time, let me know, let me tell you this, beloved. I want to let you know there is hope for you because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been offered unto God. He has a blood sacrifice and his blood cleanses us from all sin. Doesn't matter how that sin may mutate. Or take on a different shape, take on a different form. It doesn't matter. He died for the sin of the world. And sometimes we look at people and say, well, I'm better than this because I have this problem, but I don't have their problem. Every problem of sin is the same. Every problem of sin is the same, and that's why Jesus paid the same price for all of it. Did you hear what I said? So John had the high privilege of introducing Jesus as the Lamb who would take away the sin of the world. Not only that, John was a bridge. He was a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and his preaching broke silence of 430 years of silence. His preaching broke that. God hadn't spoke to his people for 430 years. I want you to think about that. 430 years not hearing the word of the Lord. I don't think I can go 430 days without hearing the word of the Lord. But there was 430 years and God had not spoke to his people here on earth. Then when John came, God began to speak. That silence was broken. So his preaching broke 430 years of divine silence. But Jesus said, notwithstanding John's greatness, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. And you're in the kingdom of heaven if you made Jesus Lord. If you made Jesus your Savior. If you believe that the Spirit of God is in you, then you're in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, he that is least. Now, there are some people, according to Jesus, that's greater than others in the kingdom of heaven. But regardless of how least your greatness is or how little your greatness is, you're still greater than John. I need you to get this. Now, everybody ain't on the same level. All God's children, come on, are not living on the same level. Some are struggling in their faith. Some are walking in victory. Some are mature. Some are babes. Some are full-grown children. And some are full-grown men and women of God. But regardless of who you are and regardless of where you are in the kingdom of God, you are greater than John. Why are you greater than John? I begin to look at this thing. And I'm asking myself, why would I be greater than John? I never had the privilege of introducing Jesus when he was here on earth, but I have that privilege now. Every one of us have that privilege now. Is that right? I never offered my life up for the faith. John did. John became a martyr. By the way, when he was in prison, he never got out of prison. He got his head chopped off. Waiting on Jesus to come, he got his head chopped off. And I'm going to tell you something. You may say, well, that's bad, Pastor, but that don't sound too good. He's out there preaching about Jesus' coming. He's out there preparing the way for Jesus, and he's telling people they need to repent and be baptized. And you might meet many goes to prison for that, and then his head is chopped off, waiting on Jesus to come. What happened to Jesus? Where was Jesus? That is the carnal mind thinking. You see, the spiritual mind knows to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, even though you're greater than John because you're part of the body of Christ, John has a greater place in God's heaven than you do right now because he's there in the presence of God, and we're still down here, come on, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We look at things the wrong way. We look at things like they're a mathematical equation. You know, like 1 + 1 = 2. No, no, no. 1 + 1 in the economy of God could equal 100. Hello, somebody. But we look at things logically, mathematically, and we try to reason our way through those things. But God is not a God of reason. He is a God of faith. So what makes you greater? I know you're feeling good because I told you you're greater than John the Baptist. You got your head lifted up, your chest poked out. But what makes you greater than John? The thing that makes all of us greater than John the Baptist is our position and our privilege. And let me break a little of that down. It's our position in Christ and our privilege as sons of God. That makes us better than John. You see, every one of us have lived to either hear or see the fullness of God's plan concerning Jesus Christ. Think about it. Now, Jesus Christ had been prophesied since the book of Genesis. The first prophecy in the Bible about Jesus is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God said to the serpent, "I will place enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your heel, but you shall crush his head." That was a prophecy about Jesus coming down on the cross and destroying the devil himself. So Jesus has been prophesied since the book of Genesis. And when you look at the 66 books in the Bible that talks about Jesus, every one of us living here and now, we have lived to hear or either to see the fullness of God's plan concerning Jesus Christ come to pass. And the first thing that came to pass was his crucifixion. Jesus died on the cross for you and I. He was crucified not because of his guilt, but because of our guilt. He paid a price he did not owe. We owed a price we could not pay. And he died on the cross for us. So that's why we're greater than John, because John had already gone to heaven. John believed God and he had saving faith like the rest of the Old Testament saints. But the Old Testament saints didn't live to see the crucifixion. They didn't live to hear about the crucifixion. You and I have lived to hear about the crucifixion, that the Son of God died on the cross for you and I. And not only did we hear about the crucifixion, but we've also heard and learned about the resurrection. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." He said,
join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.